Welcome to the exclusive club that Dads Don't Want to Belong To podcast, hosted by Trevor Dwyer Lynch. Trevor speaks with dads about the loss of their son or daughter and asks how they cope, if indeed they cope at all. This podcast is proudly supported by the Manx Spirit Charity. Thank you for listening. So we're about to start series two of the exclusive club that dads don't want to belong to, and Trevor wanted to come on and basically give an idea of where he is now from when we started recording the series, which was some time ago now. We've had a little bit of a break over Christmas. So basically, we're just going to have a chat to Trevor, who's here now, looking at me yeah. intently.
Yeah, I was going to put my shades on, mate. Put my shades on. It's good. I just thought, obviously, with the beginning of the series two, people have asked me, oh, when's it coming back? What are you doing? You know what I mean? How long is it going to be? So I just thought probably a good idea, like I say, for us to have a bit of a catch up and let people know exactly what's been going on in the 15 months since, obviously, my son Jordan transitioned. And now we're dealing with this, the podcast. It's been, obviously, it has been a very, very hard 15 months for me. My life has changed. Anybody who's lost a child dramatically.
There's some questions here that, I mean, you said to me, just think of some questions to ask me. And it's not easy. I've said this to you loads of times. It's been really difficult to do this, but nowhere near as difficult as it's been for yourself and the dads that have come on, which has just amazes me every time we speak to them. How brave, and I know brave's bandied around a lot, but how truly brave you are to come on and talk. And also the amount of, and I said this the other day, that the hope that's come out of this, there has been a lot of positivity that's come out of it from speaking to dads, and you know firsthand when people have got in touch with you how much it's helped them. So I mean, the first question is, you've been starting off the podcast with basically a little bit about how whenever we record that particular day, even if we release it a couple of weeks later, but that particular day, you do a little piece on how you're feeling that day. So how are you feeling today?
Weird. I woke up a bit, a bit nonplussed, really, a bit low of energy, really, today. Not bad. That's a bit nonplussed today. A bit tired, a bit low of energy. Didn't particularly sleep very well. You know what I mean? But it's one of those days, mate. Sometimes I get up and I'm all right. Do you know what I mean? And I'm buzzing. I get on with my day as well as I can. Do you know what I mean? Coping with these strategies, whatever that might be, whether I'm chauffeuring or grabbing a coffee with you in Basque or whatever. I try and obviously do something productive that I can. And other days, mate, I'm just...
How is your sleep, Trev? I mean, my sleep has just historically been rubbish.
Yeah.
And it affects me in terms of, you know, everyday life and stuff. So I can't imagine what it must be like with yourself. How has your sleep been? Because that's a massive part of just mental health, isn't it?
Mate, it's just my sleep patterns are just all over, I swear. Like sometimes, you know what I mean? I can fall asleep on a set of here, like watching the box or if I'm reading something, and I wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning thinking, oh my God, I'm stiff as hell. You know what I mean? So then I go to bed and I might be working at 7, 8, I might have snatched 2 hours out, and then I'm up and I've got to be out. Very rare, mate, where I have a good 6 or 7 hours. It's very, very rare for me. I sleep disturbed all the time, do you know what I mean? And I try and do a lot of stuff. And I mean, obviously, now I've got into certain things coping, I have to sort of like resort to a tape, and I'll listen to some music or sound bath stuff or Reiki stuff.
Well, I know,
does work for me.
Music's massively important to you, isn't it?
Yeah. Music has always been a great therapy for me, mate. I think, obviously, the lyrics, you know what I mean, that resonates with me. And you know, I grew up in the era of soul music, you know what I mean, where it actually means that from the soul.
When it was proper music.
Yeah, not proper just, music, mate.
Dun, 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 dun.
So it always been a big thing for me, that music. But it is all over. To be fair, mate, it is all over my sleep. It's not, you know, I can't, if you say to me in 7 days, you know what I mean, do you sleep 6 or 7 hours a night, 7 days. I'd go probably about once a week at the moment, you know, just this.
Only because we have to work on these, like with the charity, when we're putting submissions in for bits and bats, it's always, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to 10. And it, you know, if you speak to enough people, it gives you an idea of where you're at on certain things. But how would you say, on in terms of how your mental health is, how you're generally feeling with obviously one being just as bad as you can get and 10 as good as you can get, where would you say that you kind of float around at the moment?
Probably about a 3 or a 4, I think, mate.
Right.
I'm brutally honest, you know what I mean? I think I mask a lot of things, if I'm honest. I think I mask a lot of things, and it's just, like you say, it's just this constant thing, totally. You know, people go, oh, how are you, and all that, and they used to say, yeah, I'm all right, but I wasn't, you know what I mean?
No.
Now I just say, I'll be cliche, it's a bit cliche, and I'll just say, I walk in the mist, and every now and again the mist clears and the sun comes out, and then the mist goes back again.
Yeah, I mean, I've had to get over this, how are you, because
yeah,
it's a ridiculous question, but I just say, well, you know, when I ask you how are you, I'm asking you for the day.
Yeah.
As in, when I see you, it's like, how are you? Because you can't really think any more than that. But listen, mate, I know you've been, I get messages and phone calls saying, oh, I'm doing this. I'm having a crack at this. I'm doing that. So I know that you've been really, I hate the word proactive, but you have been proactive in terms of looking at stuff that suits you.
Mm.
And puts you in a better headspace. So can you sort of give us an idea of what you've been doing to try and help you cope at any level since Jordan transitioned?
Yeah, obviously, like I said, the first, you know, good 6-7 months was just totally horrendous for me, mate. It was just, you know, and it still is now, don't get me wrong. I'm not playing that down. But I think when I say the trauma that hits you is just fucking hell. Now, like I said, I'd be in pain, mate, when I say the physical pain, anybody who's lost a child. And like I say, I have to keep reiterating, that's not dispelling anybody who experienced grief. But it's just, you know, for those people who, and I hope, never experienced the pain that I and other people who've lost a child do face, it's just a different level. It goes up a different notch. You know, someone says to me, what's your analogy? And I said, well, I don't know. Remember when he was at school and he used to mess about with these little electrical things, and you put your finger on it and the teacher would turn it up and just give you a bit of electric shock. It wasn't a sadistic thing. It wasn't one of them. It was an experiment. You know what I mean? I don't want to
back,
go
back in the 70s.
Torture.
Yeah.
But you just go, some kids could like, put the finger in and say it might go to a 1 and go straight away. But other kids will wait till it gets to 4 and 5. You know what I mean? So the pain would always be that. Gut wrenching, burning your knees sometimes, sobbing, just unbelievable pain. And although that essence of that pain is still there, but you tend to sort of like work around it as such. And so for that, for me, I know I have to do other things, because you do it them dark places. You know, you got to admit, there's no lying you do. And there's many times I wanted to go and join Jordan, you know what I mean? It was like that fear, that thing, because he was on his own. Do you know what I mean? And you're like, fucking hell, man. And obviously in the winter months was worse, because then your head starts, your brain's so powerful thing, as you know, mental health, and your brain starts playing with thinking, he's below the ground, he's fucking freezing, and I need to be there for him, and blah, 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 you know what I mean? And that just takes me a little bit back to my cousin, who unfortunately he couldn't handle it anymore when he lost his daughter, and that was his thing. He wanted to be with his daughter to make sure she was safe and make sure she was warm and all that, you know what I mean? So for me, yeah, it was in the early months, it was very, very, very raw, very powerful. The trauma still hits me now. Like I say, I call it my tsunami wave. where you know it's coming, you don't know when it's coming, you can't stop it. But what I've learned to do with the help of people like yourselves, who I can talk to, my niece, who has been unbelievable, she's been unbelievable, my niece, Kendall, in helping me. And she's been going through her own bit of grief because she lost her very, very close mate, Joe. But she introduced me to sound baths, which people who don't know, it's about a bit of meditation and you listen to different sounds, vibrations, etc. And that can take you to a place of tranquility. It can also take you to a place of where you do get upset when you come out of it, you know, your relaxation and you're sobbing. But it's just been so cathartic for me. And she's been really, really helpful. Like I say, different people that I talked to, prominent people in my life who have been great, who've been supportive, and you know, it's not always been easy for them. I get it. You know, like you say, you know what I mean? When you say to me, how are you? It's different because you're a close mate. Do you know what I mean? And you can understand it. Sometimes people who are just like acquaintances go, oh, so how are you? All right. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
That. And I've joined a man's wellness group, which again, it's been, I've got to say, with the addition of people like yourself and other people close to me who speak to me, listen to me, they probably saved my life. Do you know what I mean? It was probably a couple of weeks before I actually went through the door. This place is called CAD, Cleaner and Dryer, and it's in a mill in Failsworth. And the demographic of the lads are from probably about 20-odd up to 65, like me, the oldest. Do you know what I mean? Who've been through lots of stuff in their life, and that can be from anxiety, depression, grief, drug addiction, at any level, whether it be alcohol, drugs, whatever. And been through the therapy, been through the counselling. But what you find is, ordinarily, when you're going for therapy and counselling, people will say, Joe, you need to do some physical stuff. You don't really take it on, but you should, because you don't realise how beneficial it is. So we meet on a Friday night, and it could be like 10 of us, it could be 25 of us, 30 of us, and do a bit of a boxer size circuit. Kid called Mid-John, Sean, because he's from Midland. Anthony, Simon Cooper has been brilliant. They're like the backbone of it. And they started it because one of their friends unfortunately committed suicide. So it's cleaning and dry is about your cleaner. So your head's clean in terms of like trying to get stuff out of your head. And obviously dry it, trying not to go back to where you were before. Or if you do, knowing that there's that support mechanism within the group. So we do like 25, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, box exercise, then we sit down in a circle and ask people questions from a golden globe. How's your week been? And to see 25 men pour out the stories, hard men.
Yeah.
Some hard, hard men. You know what I mean? Who've been through the mill and listened to their stories about the addiction, about the anxiety, about the depression, the grieving, whatever, and crying. Although it's emotional, but again, it's cathartic to see men doing that.
Yeah, but you also know you're helping other people, don't you?
Yeah.
That's got to be good for you. Yeah,
it has. So there's been a lot of changes, I suppose, in the way that I do deal with my grief, but like you say, it's forever there. It's forever there. And like I say, some days, mate, I am totally, totally in bits, totally in, falling off. And then other days, I'm still in bits, but I'm dealing with it. Like I say, and that's my analogy, mate. It's the mist, then it clears, and then the sun comes out for 5 minutes, and it's back again. So it's weird, mate.
And I've said to you, without sounding melodramatic, when we meet up and stuff, obviously, you know, 15 months ago, it was just different, didn't know what to say, you're just there for somebody. And I could, you can look at someone and you can feel the pain they're in, let alone see the pain that they're in. And for me, it's always in the eyes, and you look in the eyes and you just think, you know, and you're worried about someone for all sorts of reasons. But I've said to you, recently, and there's never been a right time to say it, but I mean, I've just, when I've met up with you and the way you've come in, the way you've sat down, I can see it in your eyes that there's more of a light in your eyes now than what there was. Now that's subjective. That's me. And I don't know if other people have said this, but I've seen that. And I've seen that since you've gone out there and you've looked for things to help you. Certainly the sound baths. What I don't know about sound baths now, but I can see it.
I'm going to get you on one, mate.
You will do, mate. But it doesn't take much for me to fall asleep. It really doesn't. But, you know, you're as enthusiastic talking about sound baths as what you are talking about Man United.
Yeah.
You know, you're enthusiastic when you know it's a proper, you can tell it means something. And the same with, definitely with CADS, I can see that it's made that. And I also said this to you the other day, and we can leave this in or take it out. But, you know, obviously you don't tell me anything in depth, and I'm not just saying that, you would never break people's confidences, but you say, you know, I'm speaking to such and such a lad, and I can see you adopting. You can see you adopting other people and taking them under your wing, which you've always done, because that's the kind of person you are. But I think that has obviously helped as well, because you've got a lot to give, mate. I mean, in so many ways, but, you know, experience, you can't, I mean, good and really, really bad. You know, there's no, you know, you can't put a value on that. So I'm sure people have got loads and loads out of it. So as much as you're enthusiastic about it, I'm sure there's loads of other people who've met you through these who are saying exactly the same thing to their mates. I met this guy called Trev, you know.
You know what it is, mate? It's weird because it's like energies, you know, like we're all in energies, mate. You know, I'm quite on a bit of a spiritual thing anyway, but I think when you meet people who have the same energies as you, I don't know what's the word. You connect, obviously, but there's something, like, for example, Tom Webster, you know, who does the new holistic sounds, he does the sound bath with Jess Sweeney, right? And she does the sound bath and Reiki. And they've been through their traumas. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But the mere fact is they've created this thing in Prestwich on a Monday and a Wednesday night, and people go. And it's just like, it's this massive connection. It's like everybody's energy is connected, and whether like you say, from the minuscule thing where they might not have no money to the darkest thing where they want to commit suicide or, you know, the whatever. And you go into this sound bath, mate, and Tom and Jess have just been unbelievable for me. And I truly believe, mate, there's no such thing as coincidences. You know what I mean? Things happen for a reason. Now, someone says to me today about that, well, what's the reason behind your son dying? I said, I don't know that. Don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I looked at it and I go, as mad as this might seem, mate, if there's a positive out of my son dying, it's the fact is, I, for the probably first time in my life, probably, are on this path to be this better man that I should have been. Or perhaps that's what I was meant to be. But because of circumstances in my life, it went a different corner. So, like I said to you, you know, I'm back me coping. Obviously, I'm back writing, and I write me poetry, and my poetry has been so helpful for me in my grief. Looking to get I've written about 40 poems, and looking to get obviously published. Speak to a friend of mine who's done stuff, and it's just going to be called Raw. And it's about how I feel about the death of my son, about how people make me feel. Now I am. And that how people make me feel could be a positive or a negative, you know. But that has been, like I say, it's a coping strategy. I do get it. And you say to me, oh, yeah, you look all right. You're doing all right. Yeah, and I do feel sometimes. But I say, going back, if there is a positive out of this, because I've said to you many times, I don't know what drives me to do this, mate. I don't know what drives me to do the podcast. I don't know what drives me to connect with other people. And I do truly believe, man, it's my boy. I do truly believe he's, you know, that probably, you know, I get upset talking about him. But what it is Now I use it when I get upset like this, is because he's connected with me. So I'm talking to you now. 5 minutes ago I was all right, but then suddenly banging, it's not that that grief thing as of, you know, I'm like, oh my God, it's now a thing. He's connected with me. He's in the room with me. He's touched me. So, you know, for people know, some people don't know, but, you know, obviously we'd fallen out. We weren't speaking for like about fucking football started the main thing. But obviously there's issues behind that. Me being a prick as a dad. Do you know what I mean? Like you do and all that. And, but I feel like he's guided me in a lot of ways. Because when I've been in my darkest moment, there's a poem that I write, and when I was sat, I don't call it his grave, I just call it his place. And when in the early months, like I used to go at like 3 o'clock in the morning, mate. The cemetery was always, it's open 24/7 at Mill Lane in Teedle. And I just had this desire, mate, this need that I had to be with him, I had to be near him, mate, I had to be with him, and blah, blah, blah. And it's weird, and maybe that because we didn't speak for like 15 months, 16, 17 months before he passed away. When I say speak, sporadically, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The odd grungy text or for someone in the street, was that, but nothing as the father and son should have been, mate, which was a nightmare in itself, but it is what it is. And so maybe I went there and I used to sit there, and it's because I probably needed to be near him and probably spoke to him in them early months, the most of us spoke to him in them 15, 16, 17 months, you know what I mean? And there's a poem that I write and I've written about, and I'm sat there and I'm thinking, just going to do it. Just going to get well enough. Just going to be with him, you know what I mean? And it was like, Summit, come on. It was like, you know, your mind goes. And it was like, no, Dad, don't do that. It's your grief playing with your mind. Blah, 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 you know what I mean? I'm all right, I'm not in pain, and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, it was really weird, it was really vivid. And then a couple of weeks later, I got home and I had this really vivid, vivid dream about him. But he was only like 8 or 9. And it was like, it's like he reached out his hand to me, you know what I mean? And, smiled at me, and it was like, I'm all right, we're all right. It's just, oh, wow. And I think through this, what I'm doing, it is him probably wanting me to be the person that he probably knew I could have been if I'd gone through the shit and trauma in my life, you know what I mean? And whatever, you know, and I own it, mate, I own it. Like, you know, I don't know great detail, but, you know, PTSD and all that shit and abused kid. And suddenly when you go through this thing, you start to discover yourself, why are you acting a certain way? But at that time, you don't know. And it's that inner child that you're still in you.
Yeah.
You know, our inner child maybe not leave you till your 40s and 50s, aren't that, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's why now I said to you, you know, the past is the past and I can't think about the past. I've done that. But I've learned from it, and I live in the present and the now. And I think if there is that, if there ever is to be a positive, which sounds really mad to say that after someone's passed away, especially my son, it's the fact is I think that he's actually pushing me to say to people, look, you know what I mean? Yeah, he might have been this then, but now he's this, and this is what he was really like. Because I do believe that deep down, I am a good soul. Do you know what I mean? I do believe that now. That's the only thing that I recognise lately, mate. Before, I was never like that. You know what I mean? And I mean, lots of people go through moods and all that, blah, blah, blah. But I think with him, mate, going back to him, it's like, I'm doing it because he's making me do it, you know?
That was one of the question I was going to ask you. And I don't know whether to ask you this, but you've answered it. Was I know in my mind what I think he would say, but do you think Jordan would be proud of the man that you're becoming? Then that's not having a go at the man that you were or you are or whatever. But everyone's on that, you know. If you look for it, if you know that you can, there's something that you need to change, even just to make you a better person, forget everyone else, then you do it. But it takes an awful lot of guts to go out there and do it. But do you think he would be proud of the man that you're becoming?
Well, I hope so, because you know what, man? Because, again, my son was a Muslim, all right? Mm. Son reverted about 11 years ago, and it was a good thing for him, as a positive for him, do you know what I mean? And what have you. And like I say, mate, you know me, I'm a Buddhist philosophy. I believe in the philosophy and the universe and energy's outlook. I don't decry anybody's religion, because I believe fundamentally religions are all good. Mm. It's the people within those religions that can change things, you know what I mean? The extremists, don't care what you want to label it, whether you want to label it Christianity, Islam, Catholicism, whatever. You know, I do fundamentally believe they're all the good at the start, but there's people within those that exhibit the dark side of whatever. And it's all their interpretation, do you know what I mean? But with him, it was very, very good for him. And in their religion, when we buried him, I was talking to the imam. He was brilliant, mate. He was unbelievable. And a lot of my non-Muslim friends, black and white, came to the funeral, and they were like, the first time we'd ever stepped in the mosque in our lives.
Me, mate, I said that to you. It sounds weird to say, but it was an amazing experience. I'll never forget it, yeah.
Yeah. And you go, wow. Wow. And like, you know, you hear all this Islamophobia shit and blah, blah, blah. And you go, yeah, because that's what you get with the people who are the extremists and not. You know,
oh, mate, some people are just dicks, and they'll you know, ultimately, and they'll use whatever means they can to get it. I completely get what you're saying. I mean, I completely get that, mate.
So within his religion, I was talking to the man, and he said, the main thing that you have to do, really, if you can, is for his soul to be at peace, and him to, wherever he is going to be all right, is to create good deeds. Mm. You know what I mean? And be all right. And that stuck with me, mate. That stuck me. So from day one, I know there was a massive change within me. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I'm bragging about what I do, but there's a certain thing that Muslims do, and they donate to this society once a month to give water for kids or to build hospitals and what like that. You know what I mean? And just the fact is, I say hello to someone or smile at someone, give a homeless person something. But in my head, before I give it him, I go, I'm giving this person this to create good deeds for my son and wherever he is.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is a massive thing for me, that I want him to, no matter where he is, to be at peace and to be happy and to look down and go, well, yeah, you know what I mean? For them, for a couple of months, me and my dad didn't really get him. And I have this cliche in me. I always say to sometimes my mates, when they kick off about the kids and they go, oh, he's been a right fucking pain in the ass, or she's been this and da-da-da-da. And I say, you know what? I always say, there's got to be at least twice in your life that your kids hate you. Because if they don't hate you, you're doing a shit job.
Well, if they don't hate you, how can they love you?
You know what I mean? And that's my thing. That's exactly what I say to them. And they go, you don't see it. I said, but you're doing it for them. They don't get it until, like I said, they come away from that inner child and the adult, and they go, yeah, I know it.
But I think the stronger the love, the stronger the hate can be. Because that feeling is so
intense,
mate. So I intense. Get
that, totally. So, when go back to your question, do you think he'd be proud? Well, I hope he would be, mate. I would be. I mean, probably saying, you dickhead, I wish you'd be like that 20 or 30 years ago. I don't know. But I don't have any beef with anybody, at all. You know what I mean? Like, you know, history repeats itself. So, you know, I don't speak to my biological father, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. But I saw him the day at the funeral. It was just like, yeah, all right. And it was more, it's been more cordial than it's ever been for 40 odd years, mate. He's like, right. I said, yeah. I just said to him, I don't want any shit with you. I don't want any grief. What's gone is gone. It's the past is the past. And that's it. I live in the present. That's just it. So don't really want to get involved in people. I'm you know, that, what is it called? Flight or fight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm over flight scenario now, where before I'd be very confrontational, mate. And me having a battle, not a problem. Fucking get a buzz off it. You want to grieve? You want a bit of a beef with me? Come on, then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and the main thing is, mate, because I want, going back to the question, I do want him to be proud of me, mate. You know what I mean? He's saying to me now, yeah, Dad, you're all right. And that's because, but I do sometimes get a bit cheesed off with people who know that we never spoke, and then they try and carry that on because I didn't speak to him. And like, well, we're not speaking to you, and da-da-da-da, and the little right. dynamics go ahead, and I go, but they don't know. Everybody changes their mind. You know what I mean? Some of his mates said to me, I know it's hard for you to probably hear, Trevor, if it's any conversation, but he was going to speak to you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? He was going to speak to you, and don't know whether that been this week, next month, next year, but he said, but he was going to speak to you, Trev. He spoke about me many times. He's just got to get his...
But you know he would. Yeah. You know he would have. That. I don't think there's any... I don't think there's any doubt about that, mate. But I you know, for what it's worth, I mean, I'm massively proud of you. I know the amount of people who say to me, I can't believe what Trevor's doing, but in a good way, you know, and you know, and it's making a difference to people. I mean, one of the things I wanted to, in terms of the podcast, and we've spoke to a range of guys, different ages, completely different backgrounds. But has any of that helped, have any of the episodes that we've recorded help you in terms of how you've been feeling, or the adverse, you know, the other side to that is have any of those had a negative, because that's my concern as well, is that, you know, they're having a negative effect on you, certainly after we stop recording. Because as much as we can have a chat afterwards and try and make sure you're all right, once you press end, you know, you're there on your own and stuff like that. So that's a massive concern to me. But, you know, so what positives and any negatives that you've got out of recording the episodes that we've done so far?
Yeah. But the positives, obviously, like you say, it's just the fact is, like, because I never knew what to experience. You know what I mean? I've been on a periphery. The reason why we started all this, I said to you before, because of my six good mates over 20 years, I've lost one of the children, son or daughter, you know what I mean? And you're always there trying to support them. You're on the periphery. And then suddenly you find yourself, you're in that club.
Mm.
You're in that club. And no idea. And what I always found out was that, apart from maybe one, two, no one didn't talk about it. Didn't talk about the son. Didn't sound like a thought, it was too painful. People deal with it in different ways. And that could be lots of right across the board, drinking, depression, I was like, whatever. Mm. And I'm thinking, oh God. So the positive out of this is that the fact is we've managed, and remember, I'm going to say we, you, because you're an integral part of this, mate. You know what I mean? We've managed to reach people who were probably in the same situation as my mates for years and years, and then found somehow, I don't know the strength, but the podcast has been passed on to him, and then we've got the numbers, and they've gone, yeah, and they've come on and talked about it, and it's like, might be the first time that people talked about it for a long time, or they don't know what to say, because like you say, as men, got to be stoic, got to be heroic, all that shit. You know what I mean? So the positive is, mate, yeah, and... like you say, we can't go out recruiting. It's like a normal podcast, not a normal podcast. We put out there, right? Yeah, come and speak to us. And da, da, da. It's not about that. It's all about recommendation, I suppose. And it's subtle things. So people say, when's the next one coming out? We've got to wait, you mate. You can't just do that. It's getting people at the right time. Because like you saying, that's been prominent with us, is that when we speak to people and we stop the interview and the listeners obviously don't hear our conversation, but we've got to ensure that we don't put that person who might be in about the darker place. And that includes myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's the positive, that I feel good that the feedback we've got, the people that we've reached, and like I say, someone said to me, or you said to me, and lots of other people said to me, but you don't realise the amount of people that you have who do listen to it, but they don't ring you. They don't say anything, but they take it aboard. So then that's all right. The negative, now this is a bit weird, this. When I say it's a negative, it's not really a negative as such, but you know, like sometimes I feel, when I think about some of the people we spoke to, and I'm very lucky. I think I'm very, very lucky that the fact that I had 40 years with my beautiful son.
Mm.
But some of the people sponsoring me have had months. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I've had months, I've had, minuscule years. And sometimes I go, oh, that probably hits me.
Yeah.
You know, that probably is because when you're in that tunnel, like you say, I think it's basically about my sister with her kid and thinking about what he or she would have been like, when he first started walking, first got a nursery, primary school, girlfriend, blah, 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 you know what I mean? And I was lucky to witness all that with my boy. So I think that's probably the only negative sometimes. I think sometimes I'm a bit of a fraud, really. But you're not, but you know what I mean? I just think, shit. That's probably the only negative I feel. And I think just think it's me sadness and me pain that I feel towards some of our interviewees who have lost their children very, 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 very early.
Mate, it's you beating yourself up. It's you beating yourself up, isn't it? I mean, I can see it when we speak. I mean, listen, I feel it. I struggle sometimes, but I mean, I can see it because, obviously I'm when you're talking, I'm looking at you and I'm looking at the other person and you do pick up things that you wouldn't know where you talk. And you can see it when people say certain things. And I'm sure you can see it in me, the reaction. And sometimes it's a reaction that you can't control because it's just so painful for the person.
Mm.
It's like, it's really hard for me to see you get upset, but, and I'll feel shitty about that. The fact that, I asked him a question and he got upset. But I think but what you're saying is really, really helpful for other people to listen to. And hopefully it's good for you to,
talk
about
mate.
It as well.
Absolutely, mate. It is that. And, and it's weird because, like I said, I do believe in the universe and the sort of universe. And after speaking to interviewers, I always go, right, Jordan, go and look for so-and-so. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go and see if you connect with whoever it is. I won't obviously name it, the children, but people have listened to it or come forward. But I'll say, go and see if you can go and find so-and-so. Go and think of, you know what I mean? Because he was a beautiful soul. He was a beautiful kid, and that's his nature. He's a bit like me. He'll talk to anybody, you know what I mean? And like I say, I think as we alluded to it in the early series, you know what I mean, about you'd only lived where he lived. In Middlewich.
Yeah, but I don't think you learn that, mate. I don't think you learn that kind of nature. I think it's got to be in you, but I also think you pick it up from the people that are around you.
Yeah.
I really, really do.
Like I said, I alluded to it in the first series about how his nature was, and he lived in Middlewich and he's only been there, a short while, but when he passed away, neighbours were coming out and blokes at 80 odd. He'd do the shopping for, he'd do this, I'd give him a lift or blah, 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 you know what I mean?
And just do it, not talk about it.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, what? You know what I mean?
Which is massively unusual.
So it is. So I think, I go, because I know, like, if there is, which I believe that there is, the spirits are, and like souls connect with you by telepathy, you know what I mean? That's what I do believe. And I think whoever we've interviewed, I go, go and see if you can find so-and-so and go and say hello to so-and-so and or whatever.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's... overall, this process in this 15 months, I would say that the pain is probably still intense, mate. It never goes away. I can't stand that cliche. People go, time's a great healer. Like, fuck off. No, it's not. Do you know what I mean? You just cope with it. You deal with it in a way that never goes away. Because if the healer, mate, I won't think about him. Do you know what I mean? I won't think about him. I won't be upset about shit and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's his, what you can see there, that is his. People can't see, obviously, that painting on the wall there. For listeners, I have an old painting on my wall which I've done about 25 years ago, and it's in my living room, you know what I mean? And people say, sometimes people call me, oh, you've not got no pictures of your son in your house, and they go, yeah, I have. There's one right in front of you there, 8 foot old painting, but I've also got a bit of a little space in my hall where I put pictures of him and stuff like that, and I chant to him and stuff like that. Probably, like I say, massive change in my life, and it always will be. I'll never be the same person. I get that. But like I say, I deal with it, and I'm lucky, like I say, and I feel grateful. And a gratitude to those people who have been there for me in a massive way, like saying, you know, keep saying to you, but, you know, I know what type of gays you are, you don't have it, but, you know, you know what I mean? People get embarrassed if I name them, so I won't name them, but they know who they are. They know what they mean to me. You know what I mean? My heart goes out to them, and that's everyone close with them. Who do pick up the phone or send me a text every now and again, you know what I mean, thinking of your brother or da-da-da-da or blah, 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 blah. So the whole podcast thing has been really, really, like you say, probably it has been a lifesaver for me in lots of different ways, mate. And like I say, just again, having that resource to reach out to someone and say, like you said to me, how are you doing? You know what I mean? How are you coping? What's your strategies? And letting them talk and letting them breathe. You know
the last thing I wanted to ask you is, for anybody who's listening to this or listen to any of the other podcasts, and this is not just people that we know, but anybody who's listened to it who's thought, I would like to come onto the podcast and I would like to talk about a son or daughter that has passed. What advice would you give to them, Trevor?
To reach out.
I mean, we can put the details in terms of how they physically reach out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just, you know.
I would say to them, as painful as this it is, you still continue to talk about your son, your daughter. Do you know what I mean? Like you say, you do what's right for you.
Mm.
You do what's right for you. And I don't. People sometimes say, you should do this. I never tell someone they should do anything. Because that's what's individual. Mm. I might say, or have you tried this? Or this is what, in my experience, this is what I do. But then, for the people who go through this unbelievable trauma, pain that we do go through, you have got to do what's right for you. And hopefully, we don't cross that line, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Because of that thing that needs to be with our kids. As a parent, our love is unconditional, we know that. And like you said before, you know, the love, I think your intense love for your child equates the intense grief that you have. You know, you don't need to talk about people who do shit to the kids and do whatever. And some people have killed their own kids. Do you know what I mean? And you think, how could you do that? How could you do that? Do you know what I mean? They're from a different sphere, I think. They probably, for some whatever reason, you know, I like to think that no matter how bad you are, there's also some love in you. And no matter how good you are, there could be some bad in you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the yin and the yang, innit? And it's that. But some people go over the top and go, how could he do that to the kids? And that's one thing I can't fathom, because my grief is so intense. So that means my love was so intense that I could never ever think of that, about ending another child's life. Do you know what I mean? I'd say to people like that, you've got to do what's right for you and find a way that can help you. That's not negating your grief. You go through all that, the guilt, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm just, as an actor, I've not done anything since Jordan transitioned, but I'm doing a little play over in May. It's the first time I'm dipping my toes back in the water, type of thing. I thought I'd never ever be able to do that. Like the stand up, you know, a little bit of stuff that we do over in Bass, but it's only small compared to what I used to do.
Mm.
450 people at home. Do you know what I mean? Packed out there, just like proper buzz. People say, oh, come on, you need to come back and do it. No. Because then feelings, you have all guilt. Like you say, you know, 1 minute you're having a laugh, and then the next minute it's like, oh, should I be laughing? What are you laughing for? Why should you be laughing when your son's not here? You know what I mean? But it's difficult not to have those feelings. But they're all part of it. They're all part of the grief process. So for me, I just say to people, you've got to do what's right for you, do what's right for you. And that can be find anything. I think for me, like you say, the crutch has been, and reiterate again, the sound bath massively, Tom, Jess, you know what I mean, Manisque, Kendall, other important people in my life, you know what I mean, who can talk to. It's hour by hour. Do you know what I mean? It is literally hour by hour. It is literally hour by hour. People go, oh, it's day by day. They went, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's hour by hour. And I think it's because there is that void, you know, there is that void within you. Like you said, you know what I mean? We didn't speak to Jordan. We didn't speak to each other. But I knew he was there. I knew he was in the end of a phone, end of a text. You know what I mean? I knew where he lived. I'd go around, didn't speak to him, get onto the door, whatever. Ignore him in the street. But I knew he was there. Then suddenly, not there, it's like... And it's pretty weird to come to, you know, that realisation. Yeah. I think in the, you have to do parents, dads, you know, you've got to do what you have to do for you, what's right for you, really. And yeah, of course, there's some good advice out there, and you'll be surrounded by good people, but you've got to do what's right for you in a way. And just, I don't know, man.
So for the dads out there that think, right, okay, I'd like to come on. And like we said before, listen, if someone says they want to come on and we set up a recording and for whatever reason, they just go, no, can't do this, then you can't do it. There's absolutely no issues at all with anything like that. Or if you just want to, you know, so if someone, what's the best way of getting in touch, Trev? Because we've not put any social media up specifically for this podcast. We shared it through ours and through our because, you know, sometimes you can just attract some not very nice people doing it that way. So if someone wants to get in touch to send you an email first,
the email that we have is it's all one word, lowercase, theexclusiveclub01@gmail.com. So you can drop me a line on that. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, you can have a chat with me before I give you a ring. My number, 0779-337-337. People go, she'll give your number out. I'm lucky that I have a thing on my phone that it separates people from contacts that I know and know not, that I know and I don't know. So it won't come through. So with that number, if you want to text me first and go, hi, my name's John, can I talk to you about your podcast, etc., then I'll get back to you. Obviously, the socials, like we've got the Instagram and we've got the Facebook page, the exclusive club that does don't want to belong to as well. So you can put stuff on there. And, you know, there's no judgment, remember, there's no judgment, there's no anything. You can talk about whatever you want. That's the good thing about the podcast. You know, people go, why don't you do that live one? And they go, yeah, it might be an idea sometimes. But then again, you've got to look at it. Another scenario, because some people might break down. I've done it a couple of times in it, and they don't want to see that. Then other people are dead all right. They go, yeah, I don't mind it. So it's a balance at the moment. As we work it here, it works okay. You know, we can do it by Zoom with yous. We have got facilities for the studio whenever, but it's very, we've never used it really. It's there, and you know the lads has been great to offer us. But I just wanted to say that if you do come on and we record something, Paul's brilliant, because what he'll do is he'll put it all down in the edit and then he'll send it to you. And if something that you don't like, take it out. Even when we're recording it, you can just go, stop, no, can I change that? I mean, you'll laugh because I did it before we started this. We were talking about something and it was like, no, don't do that. So that'll just get erased. So I just want the dads, because I get said to you, it's this thing about us men being fucking stoic, heroic. We've got to get on with it. You know what I mean? And a lot of us there might have partners, might have wives, girlfriends, and you worry about them. But it's like, who worries about you? Who's grieving for the griever type thing? And it's, you know, obviously we've got plans as well. We've got plans to have a coffee morning, put it out there, the exclusive club. Dads don't want to belong to, if you've lost a son, daughter, come and have a coffee. Let's have a chat at a place. And like I said to you, you know, the importance is, because I do get asked that question a lot, why don't you do it with parents? One, because there's quite a lot of resources out there for parents.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's enough for dads. And it's because, again, mainly because dads don't talk. Again, you know, you'll hear me say it and say it over and over, reiterate it. I've done the research. We've done the research. We talked to parents, and the mums will always say, he will not talk about it. He doesn't. He snaps. He goes off. He goes for the pint. He goes in the garden. He goes for what? We won't talk to him about it. He needs to talk about it. He needs to get it out there. So we aim specifically at dads who find it difficult to talk, and to know that we are in that exclusive club they don't want to belong to, and we will listen to each other. We will listen to each other. So, yeah, for anyone out there, like say, Paul says, yeah, please, please, please get in touch. Or if not, just listen to it. You know what I mean? You can comment. You don't have to comment. Pass it on to someone. You can. We're here for you. We love to you all.
Brilliant. Listen, mate, thanks so much. Have a good rest of the day. And speak to you soon.
Nice one, mate. Thanks very
much. Take care, mate.
Cheers, Paul.
Bye. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Exclusive Club That Dads Don't Want to Belong To podcast. Hosted by Trevor Dwyer Lynch, produced by Paul Ludden, and proudly supported by the Manx Spirit Charity. Please subscribe to our podcast, and if you can leave us a review, that would be much appreciated. Thank you.